Welcome here, buddy. Prost in the Spotlight. I'm Brother Dan Goodwin. We got an exciting show. I mean that, exciting show today. You're going to want to see what we have for you. We got a special guest coming in just for a few minutes, and you're not going to want to miss it. We're going to be talking about redemption today. So stay tuned. Hey, welcome everybody. I'm Brother Goodwin. This is Dr. Charles Hilton, our co-host. We have an exciting show for you today. Doc, what's your statement you always say?
It's all about redemption.
It's all about redemption. And boy, are we going to hit redemption today. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. We got a book here we're going to share with you. And but before we do that, Doc, this apostasy thing that everybody's ordering is really getting out of hand here. I've been having to work to put this thing together.
You need to work.
So this is on the website, processspotlight.com. You probably can't see that very well. And there's three sermons in here, one by your pastor, Brother Mark, about apostasy, a study of the book of Jude. I've got my little thing in here, a chapter about angels in the book of Jude, where I go verse by verse. And then you have your Matthew 24 outline, which is excellent. And people have been ordering this. It's donation only. Just get a donation of $25 on the website, and you'll see that if you go to the website. And we also want to thank the audience, Doc. They've kept us going, for another quarter.
Amen.
The money came in. We got the bill paid. We're good.
We're paid up till the rapture now.
Maybe.
Amen.
And these are exciting days. And June is going to be 4 years for us here.
Wow.
That's hard to believe.
It is.
4 years here at Processing the Spotlight. And it's because of you folks who sit down every now and then, write a check, put it in the mail. Or you go to the website and you hit the donate button. Or you call the 800 number and you donate over the phone. It's because of God's people that we're on the air. It's a miracle. I mean, we're old-fashioned. Those of you that watch us, you know what we are. We're old-fashioned King James Bible believers, and what a blessing it's been. Doc, you don't get to see all the notes that come in. A lot of times the people that send checks, there'll be notes in there. Thank you for your ministry. Please. And they tell us a lot of times. They tell us how they watch. Excuse me. We got people on VTN that send us letters, CTN. There are a lot of people that watch us just on YouTube, Doc.
Right.
And, of course, we're on the radio, different places, and we're on Cool TV in Minnesota. And we're on some other internet networks that I don't even know how to describe what they are. There's people that have asked, hey, can we play your show on our network? And so we're out there, and we appreciate it. And it's because of God's people. It's because of you and your support and your being a partner with us that we're here.
Amen.
We have a new network we're going to be on. In fact, we're on now, and I don't have that information in my head to rattle it off, but it's an internet thing, and I'll tell you about that as soon as I can. But anyway, I think it's bbsradio.com or something like that. Maybe we'll put that on the screen later. My wife can add that later so that you'll know what we're talking about, because obviously I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think it's BBS.
We know that. We learn that every week.
Now
what
listen,
are you talking about?
I opened that door, and you walked right through it and ran me over. I don't blame you a bit, Doc.
Hey,
I'd have done the same thing. The topic today, and I thought of you, Doc, when I decided to do this. I know this is something that's big with you. You have a thing in your walkthrough time mm-hmm. DVDs.
Yeah.
That Monday night was precious. I mean, how you brought out redemption in that story.
Yeah.
I sat there and cried like a baby when I watched that. Saw it live right there at the church. And this is one of those kind of things. I've got a good friend named William P. Grady. He's older than I. He was one of my professors at Bible College, and he's written a book. In fact, let me have this camera, and I'll so they can see the picture of the book, because you won't see this very well. She'll put the picture up. Beautiful cover. This cover is made to represent Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Remember the jailer who All the cells, there was an earthquake. God caused an earthquake. All the cells opened. Everybody, all the prisoners were free. The jailer really thought he was going to die that day. And he comes in and he kneels before, comes before Paul and Silas. And he says, "What must I do to be saved?" That's the title of the book. Brother Grady called me. We talked on the phone. I've talked to him several times since. And he told me about the book. I said, "Hey, I want to see that." And I read this last night, to be honest with you. It's only about 60 pages. I think there's 140 pages, but he's got stuff at the back. He's got the John and Romans in the back and some other stuff there. But it's basically 60 pages, 10 chapters. And he says this is for lost people. And it really is. And when you read through it, you'll see he's talking to lost people, and he's stringing them along, taking them through the plan of salvation, and it's really something. And I won't take the time to read the back cover of the book, but Dr. Bill Grady was one of my professors way back in the 1980s. I'm older than you think. In the 80s in Bible college, William Grady was one of the men that I really looked up to. He was a big encouragement to me as a young preacher boy, learning the ropes there. And the classes that I had with him, I'll never forget them. I still rattle stuff off to people that I got from his classes. And this is an excellent book for lost people. But I'm telling you, saved people will get a blessing out of this too. I got very emotional last night, especially chapter 5, and I'm going to tell you about that in today's program. I'm going to share with you one of the most precious analogies of salvation I've ever seen. I mean, it's powerful, and we'll share that with you. But I got a treat for you before we do that. Dr. Bill Grady did a little clip for us. I think it's 2 minutes, and he's going to explain the chapters in the book, and you'll get to meet him. You'll get to see him sitting on his porch in Tennessee, and he did this for us. We appreciate it, and we've got the clip, and we're going to play it for you. So here it is.
Howdy, neighbor. Dr. Bill Grady here, coming from my Smoky Mountain safe house. I'm here to give you a last-minute infomercial for my new book, What Must I Do to Be Saved? We had 11,000 come in the first printing just about a week ago, and over 6,000 of those 11,000 went out within 48 hours, pre-sold. So God's really blessing this. We're approaching 7,000 at this time sold. If you don't know about the book, it's only 140 pages, and it's written for lost people. But the first 65 pages I wrote, the rest of it is a John and Romans. It's got a QR code on the copyright page for your listening pleasure. Free audio book. I read all 10 chapters. And read you the table of contents. Sometimes folks say, I have a booklet about how to be saved. How is this different? This is me writing 10 chapters explaining the gospel in my own style. Most of you know my material from previous books. So I write up with the common man in mind. Here's the table of contents. A rope of sand. That's what George Whitefield called trying to get to heaven on works. The passing grade. The divine dilemma. Spiritual death row. Just and the justifier. The other place, that's the chapter on hell. What must I do to be saved? Eternal security. What to do after you get saved? In chapter 10, a final caution. These books are priced so inexpensively. If you get a case of 60, preachers listening out there, it's $360 plus shipping. That's about $5.97 a book. So this is not something to pass out at a bus stop like a gospel tract. But it's a fine-tuned gospel soul-winning tool to hand to someone that you know, somebody that trusts you. They'll read it maybe under the blanket with a flashlight, but they'll read it nonetheless.
All right, so you've met my good friend, Dr. William P. Grady, we call him William P., and he's written several big, thick books. I mean, if you Google his name, you'll find he's written a book on the King James. He's written just some amazing stuff. And we're privileged and honored to get to share this with you today. And we have ordered a whole case. We have them now. We got a whole case of these books. And here's what we want to do. And we're going to explain some, we're going to share some out of the book here for you. Beautiful cover. The Acts 16 scene there with Paul and Silas and the jailer asking the question, what must I do to be saved? The question of all questions. By the way, the greatest place to go in the Bible to show somebody how to be saved is right there. Here's a man that actually asks, what must I do? And of course, he mentions in the book, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. you do nothing to get saved. You receive something.
Just believe it.
Yep. And he mentions that in the book. We may get to it. I highlighted a lot of stuff in here. We'll never get to it all, but I do want to share some highlights from the book with you. But you can go to the website, ProtestantSpotlight.com, and you can get the book. You'll see it right there on the front page. There's two ways to get this. If you just want one, you want to read it, that's fine. $15 free shipping. We'll ship it right to you. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, though. I'm going to ask you to trust me on this. Brother Grady asked me to trust him when I ordered him. He said, look, if you don't like the book, send the case back. And so, but you know, it's 10 times better than I thought it was going to be. When I got done reading this last night, I said, my goodness, this book, he hit it out of the park. This is right there on the bottom shelf. If a person can't get saved after reading this, he probably can't get saved. So anyway, go to the website. We're offering five of these for $50, free shipping. So that's less than 10 bucks a book. Five of them. In other words, one for you and one for four of your loved ones that you want to give this book to in hopes of leading them to the Lord. I've got several people right now I'm going to send the book to in hopes that this may rattle them and get them to receive the Lord. And boy, trust me on this. This book is awesome. So, Doc, let's... Let's talk about
it's
this.
It's not only won't only be good for that, but it'd be good for any Christian to have a better understanding about how to do the same thing in sharing the gospel.
Yeah. Well, what's that song? You know, the saved like to hear it just as much as the lost do. I forget what song.
Amazing Grace, isn't it?
I don't know.
No. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a song. You know, the we love hearing it over and over again too. And boy, the illustration
to tell the old story.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was reading this, I'll tell you, I told him I texted him after I finished the book. And I was quite emotional, but I told him this morning on the phone, I said, I was emotional, but I meant everything I said. I said, this is your best work in these last days, maybe his final work. Mm-hmm. Because if the rapture is soon, what Brother Grady has done is he's given us a book to get people saved in these last hours of the church age.
Amen.
And he really did, boy. When you get to chapter 5 in here, you gotta strap in. It's powerful. And so I highlight some stuff. Let me just throw some stuff out to you. And I know you haven't read the book
yet.
No,
I haven't.
Because I just gave you one a few minutes ago. And I'm anxious for you to read. I think you're going to enjoy it. The very first thing he says in chapter 1 is this. The initial purpose of this book is to deprogram the reader from man-made religion. That's exactly right. Everyone's got their idea of what I must do to go to heaven.
Yeah.
I got to be baptized. I got to go
all
to church.
Kinds of
I got to live good.
Yep.
He's got a quote from Bill O'Reilly in here. And I want to read this because this is what a lot of people think. You all know Bill O'Reilly, mm-hmm. right? The used to be on Fox News. He's still out there. He's a good guy, but he's most most assuredly, if he believes what he says here, he's lost.
I know it.
And if you're listening, Bill, you contact us. We'll help you with this. Bill O'Reilly stated concerning the subject of religion, it all comes down to what you want to believe. So I'm a Roman Catholic, and I want to believe in a just God. And I want to believe that after you die, you're judged on whether you are good or bad as a human being by being a just and all-knowing God, and that it is your good human being that you're rewarded. If you're not, you suffer. That's what I want to believe. And in other words, Bill
O'Reilly... It's what he wants to believe. It's not what the Bible teaches.
He thinks when you get to heaven, if you've done more good than bad, the old...
There's lots of... Most religions are based on that.
Yeah. Yep, every religion out there is a do religion. I got to do this, I got to do that. There's only one that says
it's a done religion. Amen.
Yep, he has a section, come now, let us reason together. He's reasoning with us that we're sinners. He reasons with us from James and other places that if you've broken one law, you're guilty of them all.
Yep.
Listen, we were born sinners. We were born that way. We're guilty. The only way to get rid of our sin is to have a Savior, a Messiah, to pay our sin
debt.
They
have to be paid for.
Yeah. He said, of the 31,102 verses in the Bible, if I could quote only one scripture to help guide you and reason your way through this utter absurdity that lost sinners can somehow earn their way to heaven, it would be the Apostle Paul's inspired words in Galatians 2:21. And it says this, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Yeah.
In other words, if you could live it and earn your way to heaven, Christ didn't have to
Wouldn't
die.
Wouldn't have
been
any reason for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gives a lot of different verses here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep going because there's only so much time. D.L. Moody's got some good quotes in here. D.L. Moody said this. There are only two letters difference between... D.L. Moody was talking to a Mormon that was trying to convert him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to that Mormon, he said, there are only two letters difference between my religion and yours. You spell yours do, D-O. I spell mine done, D-O-N-E.
Amen.
And Christ having done for us what we could not do ourselves.
Amen.
He's got some stuff about George Whitefield. I love this, and I wish I could read it all, but we can't. George Whitefield was heard to say this one day while he was preaching. He said, works? Works? A man get to heaven by works? I would as soon think of climbing to the moon on a rope of sand. And that's the title of this chapter.
Yeah.
A rope of sand, which is going to let you down. You ain't going to get there.
Nope.
George Whitefield from the Great Awakening in the 1700s. And he says here in chapter 2, the passing grade, he says, he gives some information about his 1971, his conversion. And he actually knew Jill Stevenson. And he worked for the same company that she was in. Jill is the lady that's going to marry Joe Biden. She becomes Jill Biden. And he's met her when she was like in
really?
Her 20s.
Wow.
Interesting. And so that's in there. The eternal question, what must I do to be saved? The Bible makes it abundantly clear that should any person opt to place his or her faith for getting to heaven in their own track record on earth, they will need a passing grade of 100%. That's impossible.
Yeah.
You'd have to be perfect.
Absolutely.
From the time you're born or conceived in the womb to the time you die.
That's exactly right.
And there's nobody that's ever done. Whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all.
Yes.
James 2:10. And so he talks about that. And this is all good beginning stuff. See, he's leading the lost person that's reading this. He's helping them see you're a sinner. Living good will not absolve you of that sin. So he's taking them on a journey. He gets to chapter 3 here. And, of course, he's just told them, look, if you sinned one time, you're guilty. Yeah. Nothing you can do about it. So chapter 3, the divine dilemma. And, you know, in other words, our condition. You know, what are we going to do? He quotes a song here, and he talks about... what is this song here? Let me get it. This is a famous song. Oh, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
Amen.
He says the last stanza of that song was found in a prison cell, and they saved it, and it became part of this song. And this is powerful. Look what it says. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
Amen.
That was powerful. He just has a lot of things like that in the book. And... for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here, the Father's basically saying that he would rather have Jesus die. Listen to this. God would rather have Jesus die than to have you go to hell.
That's good.
That's powerful.
That's true.
And if that's where you wind up, you would have landed there over his son's dead body.
Amen. Trampling the blood of Jesus yeah. under their feet.
Yeah. And, boy, there's something about Tim Tebow that I didn't know. He writes about that in here. Pretty interesting. But I don't want to take it all the way. There's an interesting story about the football player, Tim Tebow, and that I'd never heard this before. Very interesting. Over here, he says, were the Lord to allow even one transgression to go unpunished, one sin,
mm-hmm.
the entire universe would implode. He's talking about, would God just ignore it because he loves no. man and let somebody in? He says, if God did that, if he allowed even one sin to go unpunished, and either I got to pay for it or Jesus pays yep. for it, the entire universe would implode because God would then cease to be God. An ancient legal proverb attributed to the first century Latin writer, like Mr. Cyrus, escapulates this concept with the phrase, the judge is condemned when the guilty is acquitted. And boy, we're seeing that today, aren't
yeah.
we? Corrupt judges. And there's a Latin phrase for that, but it means the judge is condemned when the guilty is acquitted. And I think the opposite would be true. The mm-hmm. judge is condemned when the innocent is found guilty. That would come back on the judge yep. as well, wouldn't it? And Doc, you feel free to pipe in. I know
we won't have much more time. So
yeah, God, for God to devise a plan that would kill two birds with one stone, he had to find a way to get us into heaven mm-hmm. to satisfy his love, yet without jeopardizing his holiness.
He had that plan from the beginning of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the balance here. God loves us. He doesn't want us to yeah. die and go to hell. But God is just, and he cannot turn his back
and
on
you
sin.
And one of attributes of God doesn't override another attribute of God.
Yeah. And so he found a way to balance both of them.
Yes.
He's going to send his son to die not for his sin, but for the world's sin.
That's why on the cross, the Lord said, why hast thou forgotten, yep. turned your back on yep. me? Because he took our sin upon him.
And we get to chapter 4, spiritual death row. In other words, he's letting us know that if you're alive today and you're not saved, you're on death row. You're going to die and you're going
That's
to go
good.
To hell. You're on
yep.
death row right now. You see how he's drawing
Everybody's
the person.
Everybody's born headed to hell.
Yep. See how he's going through each chapter, taking the lost person that's reading this on a little journey. Mm-hmm. Now he's letting that guy know you're on death row. You're waiting your death sentence. It may take 10 years. It may, mm-hmm. People are on death row for many years. He says, I know a godly preacher in a southern state who has a heavy burden. While some Christians have seen their children sent to prison for various crimes, this aged man has a saved son who has been sitting on death row for decades. True story. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine how difficult this is for them. He says, well, according to Scripture, for you to gain the answer to that eternal question, what must I do to be saved? It is essential for you to discover the shocking reality that you, too, are sitting on death row, only in a spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not be in a prison waiting for the guillotine or yeah. the electric chair, but we're on death row because as long as we're not saved, we're headed to death in hell.
We're headed for a separation from God.
Yeah. So there's so much more here, but there's something from Oliver B. Green in here that's pretty interesting.
You better get to chapter 5.
Yeah, and that's
run out of time.
The most important prerequisite for getting saved is to realize you are lost. I've said yep. that 1,000 times, and that's good. Yep. All right, so with just a few minutes left, Just and the Justifier, chapter 5, this is the one that got me. And you are now about to learn the pivotal truth. So far, we've discovered from the Bible that our perceived good works could never enable us to be admitted to heaven, solely because the Lord's standard of perfection is unattainable. We learned that when push comes to shove, God's character traits of holiness, justice, and wrath will overrule his love every time. It just so happens there is one possible way out of the dilemma, and he gives the story from Charles Dickens, The Tale of Two Cities. And I had never heard this mm-hmm. story. Or maybe I have. Maybe I've seen a movie about it. But he gives a story, but there's two men. They're in love with the same woman. The other guy gets her, and the other guy becomes a drunk. And long story short, something happens, and the guy that married the woman gets somehow accused or something. He's on death row. They're going to execute him, I think, the next morning. And this guy, out of his love for that woman and his friend, because they're friends, he decides to go to the prison, and they look a lot alike. He visits him. He has some kind of drug where he puts the guy to sleep or something, and he changes clothes with them. And they take the other guy out like he was ill or something, and he's left there. And he's executed the next day. And he points out that that he did that out of love for his friend, and of course the woman as well. And he applies that to, that's what Jesus did. Jesus took our place.
He did.
We were on death row. We trusted him as our Savior. He took my sin upon him.
Amen.
Now let me read this. In closing, it also represents the transition from the dramatic closing scene of the fictional characters swapping places, illustrating a powerful Bible truth. As we have already established, every human being in history has landed on God's death row, and they reach the age of accountability. Once again, no matter how much the Lord may love you, His justice cannot go unpunished. His sins cannot go unpunished. Notice it doesn't specify exactly who has to die. And then listen to this. When the condemned sinner could get someone to take his place, the punisher in the state has to satisfy God's justice. One condemned prisoner cannot take the place of another condemned prisoner. Only someone who has no sin could do that.
Yes.
And then let me close with this one statement, and this got me last night. Consequently, the sinner's only hope would be to find a sinless fellow human, one who'd be willing to make the exchange. Of course, good luck with that one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But wait, I hear an angelic corrections officer coming towards your cell with a message. Prisoner Goodwin, prisoner Hiltabiddle, you have a visitor.
Amen.
Who's the visitor?
I'm sure.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm sure glad I've allowed that to happen.
He's knocking on the door, and he says, I want to take your place. Yes or no?
Be a great book for folks to have to share with the lost.
Oh, there's so much more in there. I tried to get what I could out. Folks, I hope you'll get the book. Get it for your lost loved ones.
Amen.
Get one for you and get one for some lost. Time is running out.
Amen.
Well, folks, keep your eyes on them skies.